Wow, wonderful testimonies. Aren't you glad that you are in the house of the Lord today? Man, aren't you glad that we have a God who is alive, who looks after the welfare of His people? Man, glad that we have a God who loves us no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, and He has already accomplished that when He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Why don't we give God a clap offering this place today? Praise God. Praise God. If you have your Bibles with you, open your Bibles to the Old Testament portion. We are done with 1 and 2 Kings, so we will move on to the book of Chronicles. We are reading 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Very familiar verses for us. 1 Chronicles comes right after 2 Kings. We're reading verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4. Shall we all stand as we give reverence to the Word? Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory, that your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." God granted his request. Can we say that prayer again, verse 10? Jabez cried out to the Lord, to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me, enlarge my territory, that your hand be with me, keep me from harm, so that I will be free." Grass withers, the flowers fade, but this word of God that we have just read endures forever. Let us pray. Father, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts pleasing to you, O God, our strength and our hope. In Jesus' name, the congregation may be seated. 12 years ago, Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, I don't know if you have read this book, otherwise known as the founder of Walk Through the Bible Ministries, wrote a book that triggered the interest and impacted the lives of millions of people, not only from the United States of America, but from around the world. This book, which on the average won't take more than an hour to read, was entitled The Prayer of Jabez. How many of you have read this book before? And what Dr. Wilkinson did in this book was that he took the time to explain the one-sentence prayer of a little-known character by the name of Jabez, with the expectation that those who apply its truth will see miracles happen on a regular basis. Now, when this book was first released 12 years ago, I have to admit that even though I already knew what it was about, I did not join the bandwagon of those who embraced the publicity surrounding it, especially when it became a New York Times number one bestseller and sold more than 10 million copies worldwide. This does not mean, however, that I altogether dismissed what Dr. Wilkinson wrote in his book, because being one who knows how to preach from the Word of God, being one who knows how to preach the Scriptures, I believe that the principles he presented in this book were valid. So what I did was that I took it as an instruction material on prayer, and as I began to read through the pages of the book, I learned that at its most basic level, the prayer of Jabez is a very powerful prayer. And since we have the opportunity this morning to look at it one more time, as part of our continuing sermon series on the books of the Bible, I would like to point out for our consideration who Jabez was, what his prayer was all about, and what his prayer means to us, especially in our context today. To begin with, I would like to point out a few important details about the family background of Jabez. And if we turn our attention once again to our text found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, there are at least four things that we learn about him. First of all, we are told that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Do you see that? Jabez, in verse 9, we are told, was more honorable than his brothers. Now, we do not know how many brothers he had, but this information says something about the brothers than it does about Jabez. When we read that he was more honorable than they, that indicates something of the dishonor that was attached to their character. So the first thing we know about Jabez is that he was of a family that had a bad reputation, and that reputation is recorded here for us to the extent that Jabez is regarded as a remarkable exception to a rather dishonorable family. The second thing we learn about him is that when he was born, his mother named him Pain or Sorrow. Now, how many of you would like to name your children Pain or Sorrow when they're born? And the reason for this was not because his mother experienced pain in childbirth, or else all of his other siblings should have been named Jabez as well, but simply because his mother saw nothing ahead but hopeless difficulty. Now notice when we first read about Jabez in verse 9 of our text, there is no mention of his father at all, which probably means that his father must have abandoned his mother and left her to take care of the entire family. Third thing we learn from this account is that there was a struggle going on in the family of Jabez. They seem to be under the blight of terrible poverties. For Jabez prays in verse 10 of our text for the Lord to enlarge his territory, which probably means that he was praying for the Lord to increase his material possessions. Now for Jabez to pray this kind of prayer, this indicates that something was wrong in this regard. Remember that in Israel, the land had been divided among the tribes and among the families by lot. This means that every family had its own inheritance, which was passed on from generation to generation. And this inheritance was prized as being the great possession of the entire family. Now we also read in the Old Testament that the law of Jubilee required that every 50 years, any land which had been sold or lost in any way was to be restored to its original owner. Yet here is Jabez. We read about him, we know that he was without an inheritance, with no mention of his father's name, and with the additional information that all of his brothers were dishonorable. So if you have to fill in with our imagination what has gone on, it is very likely that this is an account of someone whose inheritance has been squandered by responsibility and departure of his father, someone who just lost the family inheritance because his father gambled it away, or perhaps lost recurring shame and disgrace upon the entire family. But the fourth and final thing we learn about Jabez here is that in verse 10 he also prays, "Keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." Now there's a little bit of a play of words in this particular prayer, because if you remember in verse 9 of our text, his name was synonymous with the pain that his mother experienced. So what he was actually praying here is, "Lord, whatever it is in me that is wrong, I ask that you will keep me from Jabezing me or bringing me pain, because that seems to be his lot in life." Now with this picture that we see of Jabez, there's no question that he is a man who has just experience one pain after another, who has all the cards stacked against him, so to speak. He's an absentee and irresponsible father whose name has been dropped off the official records, probably because he lost his family property in some shameful way. Jabez feels within himself a weakness from his dysfunctional family background, which had affected especially his brothers and brought them to shame and disgrace in the eyes of the community. And he had no property, which means that he has no way to start earning a living and no way to attain to a position of honor in the community. Again, with these tremendous odds that Jabez had to face every day of his life, I just can't imagine how he was able to survive this ordeal for a long period of time. In fact, I was quite surprised that his mind was still intact, that he did not go crazy at all, he did not kill himself, as many people sadly do today, because taking all things into consideration, each new day just brings hopelessness and pain for him. But the beauty of God's Word is that it includes in its pages stories such as the story of Jabez. And thank God that even in the midst of life's depressing and difficult situations, he has provided his people a way to call on him, which is none other than through prayer. And church, this is exactly what Jabez did. He prayed based on his conviction that there was a God and that God hears the cries of his people. And as we move on to the next section of this sermon, I would like to point out four parts of his one sentence prayer. Firstly, Jabez asks, "Oh, that you would bless me." Here, Jabez is asking God to open the treasure store of blessing for him. But what Jabez was praying for had nothing to do with material possessions at all. Because the truth of the matter is, this is a request for some kind of an inner sense of relationship with God. You see, blessing is drawing near to God. Blessing is finding God. Blessing is knowing Him personally. So to be close to God, to walk with Him, to share in His life, to know His Spirit, to be filled with His wisdom, and to understand His loving, forgiving heart, and were the blessings that Jabez prayed for. And church, if we translate this into our context today, what this tells us is that if we want to pray this kind of prayer, what we should be asking God for are not material possessions or a better way of life, but first, above all else, the assurance that He is our God, that He belongs to us, and we belong to Him. Church, this is what it truly means to ask God to bless us. While God can bless us materially, the first thing that we have to do is to ask Him to endow us with His spiritual blessings. In fact, this is what our Lord Jesus Christ Himself said when he said these words in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Secondly, Jabez asks that only that the Lord will bless him, but he asks the second thing here in this prayer, "to enlarge my territory." This is a prayer for opportunity in the case of Jabez. This is a prayer for the restoration of his lost inheritance. Translated into our context today, it means to find a way to break out of whatever may be limiting us, or whatever is hemming us in, or whatever is enslaving us. Lord, enlarge my territory. Lord, release me from this bondage. Lord, release me from this difficulty. Lord, give me the freedom to experience the kind of life that I'm supposed to have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps some of us here may feel this because we are in the grip of some destructive habit or some attitude of mind and heart. Perhaps some of us here may feel that we are in a situation in which we have no opportunity to grow, we have no opportunity to advance, we have no opportunity to be fulfilled or satisfied in life. If that is the case with us even today, then church, this is the proper kind of prayer that we need to pray. And when we pray this kind of prayer, we can come to God right here and right now saying, "Lord, give me that opportunity. Lord, expand my territory. Lord, let me find it. Lord, open the door for me." Take note that in the case of Jabez, this was not a selfish kind of prayer, but this was simply his cry to the one who could move mountains, to the one who blessed Israel, to the one who blessed Isaac and Jacob, to the one who blessed Moses. Church, Jabez believed deep in his heart that this was the God he was praying to, and there's no question that he's the same God who hears our prayers even today. Again, why don't we come to Him right here and right now and ask Him to enlarge our territory so that in the end, He may get all the glory, honor, and praise. Thirdly, Jabez asks, "Let your hand be with me." And what Jabez was expressing when he said this prayer was, since he was very aware of the uncertainty of the future he faces, he simply wanted God to go into the future with him and to guide him every step of the way. Just let me ask you this question. Is there anyone among us you think who knows exactly what is coming down the road or what sudden, unexpected changes may occur in the next few days or next few months or years? The answer is no one, right? Because Not any one of us here is infinite. All of us here, our minds that are finite, and we are limited as far as our understanding of the future is concerned. But there's one who is infinite, who knows all about the future, who is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. He was the God of Jabez, and He is our God too. So when we are facing an uncertain future, if we need direction for anything else, we can come to God anytime, anywhere, right here and right now, and ask God to just expand our territory. And just what He said to the people of Judah in all the Old Testament times, this is what He also says to us: "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Fourth and lastly, JB says, "Keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And very clearly, this is a prayer of utter dependence on God on the part of Jabez. Church, I would like to tell you that if there's a prayer that we need to be praying consistently and regularly, it is this kind of prayer, because the truth of the matter is that there are so many distractions and temptations out there that can keep us from living the life God wants us to live. This is a prayer that cries out to God, asking God to take over in every aspect of our lives as we face temptations. But more importantly, this is a prayer that is asking God from causing us pain to Him or anyone else because of our sin. You see, church, sin not only harms us, but it can hurt those around us as well. And there's no question that it pains God when we sin, because sin breaks our relationship with God that God has established with us. So why did Jabez pray this prayer that he would be prevented from committing the act of sin? In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we read these words: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path." So after Jabez presented these four requests to God, what do you think happened in our text? Well, it is recorded in verse 10 of our text that God granted what he asked. In response to his prayer, I do not think that Jabez experienced any kind of special angelic experience to just reassure him. But what I believe happened was that as Jabez went on with his life, a number of things happened. Number one, he found doors opening suddenly and unexpectedly. Number two, opportunity was given for him to buy a piece of land and perhaps to raise a crop on it. Number three, more money was given to him, perhaps, and then he was able at last to gain back the family inheritance. And number four, Jabez, as he gradually did so, he established for himself a reputation for honesty and fair dealings with others. And even though his brothers had a bad name in the community, Jabez just gradually earned a name of respect and honor, until one day he remembered that God answered all of his prayers. God answered all of his prayers. And looking back, Jabez said that God had been with him. God brought him through. God delivered him. God opened the door, and God set him. Now, I don't know whether this happens to you or not, but oftentimes, church, I find that answers to my prayers come in such a quiet, natural ways that at first I'm not even aware my prayers are answered, until I look back and see how the hand of God has guided and fulfilled, so that quietly it all began to happen. You know what? The interesting thing about this story, there's another verse about Jabez in the scriptures which helps us understand this. And it's only the other time that his name is mentioned in the scripture. If you have your Bibles with you, turn your Bibles back to First Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. Interesting, because the name of Jabez is mentioned twice in the entire Bible. And the other time is found in First Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. It reads here: "The families also of the tribe of the scribes that dwelt at Jabez." Now, what is this? Is this a name? Is this a place? Now, here we learn that Jabez is a place, right? Which means that when Jabez brought his property back, he just claimed it as his own. And when Jabez claimed it as his own, he turned it into a place where the scribes began to study. So we learned that Jabez was not only a man of prayer, but he was also a man of God's word. He understood the scriptures, And from his knowledge of the scriptures, he understood that it was through the scriptures that he learned to pray. It was through the scriptures that he learned about the God of Israel. It was through the scriptures that he learned what he might expect from his God and what promises were given. Church, Jabez was not only a man of prayer, but he was also a man of scriptures, and he did not only experience God in a very personal way, but because he was able to establish a place that would teach others about prayer, many others came to know God for who he really is. Many others came to know God in a very personal way. I do not know how many of you here feel close to Jabez, but I think that if I ask you, 2/3 of this congregation would indicate that you feel this is talking about. And if this is talking about you, this gives us encouragement that prayer is designed to meet us right where we are. In other words, we can bring our requests to God and make them known unto God. And as we do so, in the realization that He loves us and cares for us, and is individually involved with each of us to the fullest degree, He will lead us through all the different difficulties of life. There's a song that goes this way. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in Thee. I give Thee back the life I owe, that in Thine ocean depths its flow. A richer. First, let me close this message by telling us that God will lead us along, as He led Jabez along, to a place where, looking back, we suddenly see that all of our prayers were answered. So why don't we say this prayer one more time to God, with the expectation that since we have a God who hears, since we have a God who listens, He will answer all of our prayers in His own time, in His own way, for the glory. Oh, that You would bless me, touch my territory. Your hands be with me and keep me from harm. Let's pray it again. Oh, that You would charge my sin with me from heart. Father, we know that this is not prayer that we ought to present to You. We want to be blessed. If You want to obtain, but this prayer is basically the expression of our that we are dependent on You. But apart from You, Father God, in the name, as we have prayer to You, remind us, Father God, that we are Yours. And You belong to us. Father God, may You also remind us that even if we are going through difficult times, especially today, that You can release us from difficulty, enlarge our territory, that You can give us the capacity to be the person that You want us to be, Jesus Christ. Father, thank You that Satan has no control over us anymore. Belong to Christ. We are new creatures. The old things have passed. The old things have become new. Father God, oftentimes we give in to the attacks of the enemy. We give in to his accusations. But Father God, today in this place, we declare that You can enlarge our territory. You're powerful enough to do this, Father God. And You can release us from any pain. You can release us from any sin. You can release us from any bondage that we are going through right now. But Father God, we also pray that as You allow us to experience victory after victory, that we, Father God, that it's only because of You. Oftentimes, Lord, when we experience success in life, we think that it's of our own making. We forget, Father God, to pray, Lord, please be with us every step of the way. And we know, Father God, that the challenges become bigger and bigger. The trials become stronger and stronger. Father God, oftentimes we forget that when the trials become stronger, your power is even stronger than ours. So, Father God, I pray that you speak comfort. A person who is going through a trial, that you would speak strength upon that person, Father God, in the name of Jesus. That you would release that person from bondage and remind that person, Father God, that in Christ, all things are possible. And with Christ, strength comforts us. But Father God, you have also reminded us, Jabez, that you would keep us from harm, that you would keep us from danger, Father God. Sin gets in the way of our relationship. Lord, we acknowledge that you are a holy God. We acknowledge that you never contend with sin. And oftentimes, Father God, we take this for granted. We think that if we sin, then it's still okay with you, but it's not. So, Father God, I you would keep us ever dependent. Give us strength even in the face of temptation so that we won't give in to temptation, therefore give in to sin. Father, I pray that as we echo the prayer of Jabez, that you would effect miracle after miracle. Again, we don't claim that this is a matter. But the one that we are addressing this prayer to, one of you. See us through. Will deliver us.